Thank you. Good morning, everyone. No, you're falling asleep. It's not morning. I'm so used to saying good morning. It's actually, we should be saying good evening almost, right? The time is almost 4:30, 4:40. I've never actually had a worship service this late. But I have to say, I'm actually more nervous today than I was on the day of my wedding. Can you believe it? You know, last night, I'm going to be very honest with you. Last night, I actually don't have many sleepless nights, but last night, I just was not able to sleep. Part of it was I was so excited. My hearts were just pounding, and I was just thinking about today, and I wasn't sure who's going to show up. I don't know what's going to be the future of New Vine. And then part of it was I was also scared. What if nobody shows up? At least on the day of my wedding, I knew that my wife would actually show up. She said she would. But, you know, this was actually scary and exciting and joyful experience just all mingled together. And I have to say that this day is actually a very, very historic day for us. We've been praying for this day to come. We've been really working together just to see this day come to fruition. Last night, as I was just praying to the Lord, you know, that line was that movie. There's a movie, baseball movie, that says, if you build it, they will come. Do you remember that movie? That's right, Field of Dreams. And I was thinking, we haven't built anything. We're just renting a space. We've been working together, but somehow the Lord put on my heart that God will send his people. And I'm just so honored to have all of you join us on this very historic first day. I just want to have a quick poll. How many of you actually are living right now in Mountain View? Just raise your hand. We want to just give a shout of welcome and thank you for joining us. Wow, so we have a lot of Mountain View residents. How about Sunnyvale? Anyone from Sunnyvale? Okay, quite a few from all the way from Sunnyvale. Good. Okay. How about, is there anyone who's not from the Bay Area or San Jose? I'm actually, by the way, my name is Ted, Ted Kang. I live actually on the southern tip of San Jose, all the way down near 85 and 101. Anybody who drove more than 30 minutes to get here today, just raise your hand. Wow, over 30 minutes, huh? Good. How about, is there just anyone who's out of town? Okay, all the way. I know that there are some people from San Luis Obispo. How about out of country? Wow, we have Taiwan, right? All the way from Taiwan. Hong Kong. Anyone else that I missed? This is amazing how God brought all of us together in this place. You know, it was really interesting. I'm so excited that we're seeing this church being birthed, but I found out along the way that there's actually another church that was just birthed just down the street. The name of the church is Curran Silicon Valley, and they're literally just two blocks away from us, and they had their morning service. Their service starts at 10 o'clock. And I want to let you know, I'm actually really excited that there's not just one, but there are two churches that are being planted in Mountain View. And this goes on to prove that God really cares about this city. God loves Mountain View. And we're not in competition. I want you to know that, okay? So if 10 o'clock is a better time for you, I want to just really encourage you to go and visit the church, say hi to the pastor. I actually reached out this week, and I wrote him an email, and I actually asked him if we can just get together for a coffee. And he emailed me this morning at like 6 o'clock saying that he's actually praying for our church today. And our church actually had a chance to really pray for Curran Silicon Valley. So I just feel like God is doing something in the city of Mountain View, and this is really exciting. We should really be celebrating. So I want to encourage you to come and visit them, but I have to say, they're serving Phil's coffee there. I think our coffee is better. if you haven't tried our coffee, in fact, Eric is our barista, in-house barista. You know, he has a PhD, and he's using his PhD to study the water composition. He was yesterday, this is truth. I called him last night, 2 days ago, and he was actually working with the water chemistry, adding calcium and a few other things to really make the balance of the coffee perfect. And we have a roaster who's also providing some great beans. So make sure that you try our coffee before you leave. But I just wanted to get that out to you. This morning, this is our very first worship. I'm not going to preach at you or preach to you, but I just want to share with you how this new vine actually came about. Some of you are wondering, what is this new church about? How did it actually all start? And, you know, most of us on the team, right now there are about 30 of us. Some of them are wearing these blue t-shirts, but we actually were sent out from a local church down in San Jose. In fact, I want to let you know that there are about, I mean, it's not a small church. We're a church of about 800 people, and we've been praying for the last year and a half for the city of Mountain View. We didn't know that we're going to plant a church here at the time, but our church has been praying. This morning, we joined our hands and we pray for the city of Mountain View. We pray for those who would be coming here this morning. So we were actually sent out from a local church about a year and a half ago. I actually went back and looked at my journal. Our very first meeting that we had was on April 4th of 2015. So that makes today 533rd day. Can you believe it? So we've been meeting together once a month, and sometimes more than that. We've been meeting together to pray, and it's been an incredible journey for us. And this is also the church that's been around for 40 years. When 2 years ago, our leaders, many of them are sitting here today, our leaders, we got together to really pray for the future of our church. God really impressed upon our hearts that we are not to just keep expanding our campus that we have in San Jose, but God's heart for us was to spread out and just keep multiplying, keep planting churches throughout different cities. And I really believe that this is God's dream for us. And so that's how the church actually began. And 30 people, these are probably our best people, most qualified, trained leaders. We set aside 30 people really to go and plant this church, and they said yes to this dream almost a year and a half ago. So we've been meeting together, we've been praying, we've been really gelling together, and that's how we actually started this church. And today is the culmination of all of those efforts. Some of you came out to our barbecue events, right? Some of you were at our Super Bowl party. Some of you came out to our vision sharing night. So it's just been an incredible journey. And this morning, I want to briefly share with you what kind of church New Vine will become. And this is our prayer. We believe that this is a dream that God has given to us. So I want to read a passage from the Bible. It comes from Matthew chapter 16. I'm just going to read together with you just a few verses, and then I want to share a few thoughts with you from this Bible passage. So let's go ahead, and if you can just read the screen, start from verse 13. Let's read all the way through verse 18. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." If you can just leave that last verse, verse 18 up there, that's where I want to speak from. This is Jesus' promise to his disciples. I want to share with you, this is our conviction. This is why a year and a half ago, 30 of us started gathering together, dreaming and praying about giving birth to New Vine. Because we believe that it is Jesus' heart, it is his mission to build his church here on earth. Now, many people say today that the reason why Jesus came to this world was to die on the cross for our sins, so that he can save us and he can get us to heaven. Now, that's a good answer. But I want to share with you, from the Bible that I read and I study, that's not the only reason. That's not actually the ultimate reason why Jesus came into this world. If that were the case, if his mission was to come and die on the cross for our sin, he did not actually have to come and wait 30 years of his life and then did 3.5 years spending time building relationship, teaching his disciples. What was he doing in those 3.5 years of his life before he went to the cross? Yes, it is true that, I mean, we don't want to belittle what he did on the cross for us. That's the most amazing gift, grace that God has given to us. But I believe with all my heart that Jesus came. One of his ultimate mission was to build his church. And that's exactly what this verse is saying. He says, I will build my church. I am not building this church as a pastor. It's not our team. Jesus is building and he's on the move. And I really believe with all my heart that this new vine was from the very beginning Jesus' dream and his vision. And he invited us to be part of it. That's why we're here this afternoon. You know, you look around. Everything we hold dear. How many of you have iPhone 7? Is it out yet? You know, that little shiny toy that we think is just such a cool tool, or a new gadget, or a new phone, or a new computer, or a new car. I want you to think about all these things that we pursue in this life. They're not going to last. At most, a few years. You know, I can guarantee you, our grandkids will say, what is a phone? They're not going to know what a phone is, right? We think those things will solve the problems that we face in this life, and yet none of the things that we can touch and we can see, those are not going to last into eternity. This chair that we're sitting on, this building, even the flesh and bones that we're wearing, one day, they're all going to perish. But there's one thing that is not going to perish, and this is why Jesus came. He says, I will come, I will build my church. And the only thing that is going to last from this side of eternity to the next side, next eternity, is the church, his people, his family, his kingdom. That's why he came, and that's what he's doing here on earth, and that's what he's doing here in Mountain View. You know, people ask me, Ted, why are you doing this? I'm going to be very honest with you. I love my church down in San Jose. I'm still pastoring that church. I have a great job. I have a great ministry. I'm deeply loved by the people at that church. At least that's how I feel. Okay? I have a decent salary. I have a good life. I have wonderful family and kids. What we're doing here today does not change anything, any of those things. It doesn't increase my salary. It doesn't give me a better... In fact, it's a lot more work, and we've been kind of, you know, building up our muscle to get ready for having 3 services. We have 2 worship services in the morning, and now we're here. People have asked me, why in the world are you doing this? It's because this is Jesus' dream. It's his heart. This is his mission. He's building his church here on earth. 7 years ago, this dream was planted into my heart. I shared this story when we had a night of vision gathering. And some of you did not hear this at all. But it was actually 7 years ago that this dream was planted into my life. And God gave each one of us this dream. But 7 years ago, I was sitting in downtown Toronto Airport. I was waiting to take my plane back home, and I was stuck there because my flight got delayed for over 8 hours. I was sitting there on the chair waiting and waiting, and as the night fell at the airport, I began to see these lights come on. And finally, I got on the plane, and as we took off and started flying over the city of Toronto, I began to see these lights coming on one by one, and all of a sudden, I don't know if it's a vision or something that the Lord showed me. I know that this is not the normal thing that we see over a city, but the entire city lit up with all these lights being connected, and it was like a web of light, all connected, all within just a few minutes. And then this tears started flowing from my heart, and I was sobbing. I was crying on the plane, and people were asking, hey, what's going on? But I knew that God was really speaking to me. And at the time, I didn't know what the dream was about. I came home and I told my wife, honey, we're moving to Toronto. We're going to go and do something. But later on, God began to unravel those dreams, and it was really about God's heart for the city that we live in. His heart, His compassion, His heart for the city of Mountain View and San Jose, San Francisco. And I really do believe that this is His work. This is His church that He's building. You know, along with our team members, I really believe that this new vine is God's dream from the very beginning, from the very start. You know, it's not our skills, it's not our preaching, it's not our music, it's not what we do or what we can accomplish. As Douglas said, we have no idea what we're doing right now. We're just learning as we go. If you came here at 3:30, you probably saw us scrambling for lines and cables, and the lights were not working. We were all panicking. But it's a beautiful mess, because this is God's heart for us. And I really believe that God is inviting you to be part of this community, this historic beginning of New Vine Community Church. The second thing that I see in this passage is that this church that Jesus says He will build will be built upon this one thing, and that is the foundation of our confession. And I'm going to explain that a little bit. Now, here it says, I tell you, Peter was His disciples. He says, Peter, on this rock I will build My church. Jesus says, on this rock I will build My church. What is this rock that Jesus is talking about? You know, some people say that that's Peter, because Peter was able to answer who this Jesus was, that Jesus is promising, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom of God, and now I will build My church on you, Peter, because actually Peter, the name Peter is rock. But I really do not believe that's what Jesus is saying here. Now, some people have believed, and that's why in Catholic churches, they really believe that the church was built up on popes, starting from the very first one, which is Peter. But what God is speaking, I believe, what Jesus is actually speaking here, is that His church that He promised to build will be built upon the confession that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. That Jesus is our Savior. Today, I have to say, too many churches are built on things other than this confession. Some churches are built upon the personality or leadership of the pastor. Some churches great music. Some churches are built on beautiful buildings or programs. Now, these are all good things that God gives to us, but Jesus is saying that His church, the true church, will be built upon this confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. How will we ever know if our church is not built on these things, but really built upon this confession? A year from now, 2 years from now, how will we know? It is actually when those things actually are taken away, will the church, will New Vine be able to stand? Will New Vine go on when I am no longer the pastor of this church? Will the people still come when we don't have a cool band? Or this building? Or great children's program? See, I believe that if this church is built upon this confession that Jesus Christ is our Savior, nothing will actually be able to take away or destroy what He's building here, what He's starting here today, our New Vine Church. I believe with all my heart, you saw our invitations and on our website, we talk about how our church is really about ordinary people with real faith, building a meaningful community. That's kind of our tagline. What is a meaningful community? Everybody's looking for a community. But I really believe that the only true meaningful community that's going to last and will stand the test of time is actually when our relationship is built upon this confession that Jesus is the Christ. You know, you look around, these people who are wearing blue shirts, I've spent, some of them, they've been running with me for the last 15 years. Some actually started together this other church 40 years ago. But at least we've spent the last year and a half. And even during that time, I feel like our love has grown so deep. I honestly think I can take a bullet for them. I don't know if that's going to be true, if it actually happens. But at least I feel, that's how I feel. That, and I believe that they will probably do the same for me, right? No? At least my wife will, I know that. She'll take a bullet for me. Why is that? You know, I have four brothers. I have family members who are unsaved, but I feel like, just at least in this spiritual family, I feel like these people that are running with me, who have spent their life and their time with me, they're closer than my blood brothers. And that is not to belittle my relationship with my own siblings. There's something that is much deeper than what we can produce out of our social relationship. You know, Jesus said, there's no greater love than when a man can lay down his life for his friend. I always thought that this was Jesus speaking of himself, how he's going to lay down his life. I never thought that that kind of love would actually be possible in our human relationship, maybe in a family. But to lay down my life for someone that's not even related to me, but I'm learning that it is actually possible. It is possible to build a community like that. I feel like we're becoming that sort of community after we spent a year and a half together. I want you to give it a try. Find out if we are just a bunch of flukes or that this Jesus is real, that he transformed our lives in such a way that he actually wants to build a community like that here in the city of Mountain View. The last thing that I want to share with you is the last phrase there. It says, this church that Jesus is building, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, all along, when I read this verse, I thought that Jesus was actually talking about the sufferings that we're going to endure, the persecutions, the hatred that the world is going to throw at the church, the attack. That's how I understood this verse all my life, but Jesus gave me a revelation not too long ago. It says, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Now, do you know what gates are? Do you have gates in your home? Why do we build gates? Huh? To keep things in, or keep things out, or keep people out. That's exactly why we build gates. Now, I've never seen actually, I don't even know if it makes sense that gates will actually come against the church or unleash any kind of attack or offense. When people build gates, it is to keep things in or to protect what is inside. I truly believe that this picture that Jesus is giving us is that church is actually on the offensive. Church is the one crashing upon the gates of hell against darkness, against injustice, against what is evil. Church is on the run. Church is on the offense, attacking. And what Jesus is saying is that when we do that, the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against us, against this church. You may look at me today and say, Pastor Ted, you're made to do this. You were born and made to be a pastor. You may think that I'm trained and have my life all together, very clean and tidy. But I want to share with you, the first half of my life, I was a broken, lost, sad and lonely, depressed, without hope. Our kids, I have four daughters, they always ask me about my childhood, and I really have very little to tell them. And the little that I share with them makes them always cry, because it's so miserable. That was my life story, the first half of my life. I was as broken as a human being can be. I grew up in a very, very broken family. without a mother or a father. I did not receive any kind of affirmation growing up. And the little experience that I had with family was a very, very painful one. My father went through 2 divorces. And we were, even my brothers, we were all scattered all over the place. So this is a part of my life that I don't want to remember, but I want to share with you that there was a group of people who pursued after me. They were relentless. They prayed for me. They loved on me. They chased after me. They embraced me. They took me in as one of their own when I was running away from God. It was a church. The wall or the gates of anger, the gates of hatred, the gates of depression and loneliness, all the defenses that I built and Satan built in my life were not able to prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. That's how God rescued me. I won't go into details today. At some point, I'll share my story with you. But that's what Jesus wants to accomplish through his church. So here I'm standing here today before you. New Vine is not just going to be sitting here, and we're not going to be a self-serving church. We are beginning this New Vine church because God is calling us to go out into the streets, into the homes, into the families, and crash upon the gates of hell, where people are bound, kept in bondage, in darkness, in pain, in loneliness. We're going to love on them. We're going to call them out. That's why we're starting this new church today. The word church is a very familiar word for us, right? Everybody knows what church is. But when Jesus spoke these words to his disciples, this must have been a complete, strange, weird thing that Jesus must have taught them. Because in their life, they've never heard the word church before. In fact, if you look at the New Testament, this word church was only used 2 times in the Bible. So just imagine when Jesus mentioned this word church, just imagine how puzzled and confused the disciples were. They knew temple. They knew the synagogue. But they never heard this word church before. Most people do not even know what that word actually means. And I want to end with this thought. The word church means the called out ones. What God is doing here is that he's calling us out of this world to make his people, to make his family, make us his kingdom, part of his kingdom that he's building. And then he's sending us back into this world. That's what it means to be a church. One of the phrases that I hate is, let's go to church. There's no such expression in the Bible. Church is not something that you go to. You are the church. We are the church. The people are the church. This building doesn't matter. Where we meet doesn't matter. But when we build New Vine upon this foundation that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world, the Messiah, Jesus promises that the gates of hell will not prevail against us. I think it'll be very appropriate for us. I really want to end our time today. This is our very first worship service. And I really asked the Lord this morning, how should we actually end our time together? And I think this is the Lord's heart. We want to really spend some time blessing the city of Mountain View. This is God's heart. I really believe that New Vine is to be the seed of God's blessing for the city of Mountain View. So I want us to just go into a time of prayer, and this may feel a little bit awkward for some of you, but I just want to really give you freedom. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to. I think you can just listen. But if there are some people here that God is moving your heart just to bless the city of Mountain View, I'm just going to invite a few people just to come up and just speak this blessing. Let's invoke God's blessing upon the city of Mountain View. And let's also ask the Lord to really bless this new vine family to be the city of blessing for the city of Mountain View. So I'm just going to open up to a few people to just come and say a few words of blessing in the name of Jesus. And then we're going to end just with the last song. I think maybe we can lower the volume just a little bit. I think it's a little too loud. But let's have the worship team come back and get ready. But I'm just going to stand here with the microphone, and if God is just moving in your heart just to speak blessing over the city of Mountain View, I'm just going to invite just a few people just to come on up and do that. And we'll just all come into an agreement with whoever comes up. Okay?
We give thanks to you for your presence here tonight. And we want to know your heart for these people, your church. And thank you for inviting us that we can come into your church together as a community. So Father God, I just want to bless the people here that you want to say to them that you're not an accident. There's no accidents, and that you are here for a reason. And there's a purpose for your life. He's your creator, and he created you for a purpose. So I bless the people here in the city of Mountain View that your hearts be open to know God's heart for you and find out his purpose for you. So I just bless you with that. In Jesus' name.
As a resident of Mountain View, I want to bless everyone here in this room and everyone in this city with a spirit of contentment. Not the kind of lazy contentment that one might think of, but contentment of a deep contentment of peace in our hearts, of peace, whatever the circumstances, a true contentment, one that, you know, really cannot be reached by career, by school, by wealth, but only the contentment of God. And so I just bless over this amazing city of Mountain View, contentment.
Some of you already know this prayer. In your heart, can you pray along with me? The first few lines. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we belong to you, that every one of us is a child of yours, Lord, that you have called us from the very, very beginning, and that we are home now with you. So, Father, as we embark on this journey at New Vine, we ask, Lord, that you bless the entire community here and beyond Mountain View, that they belong to you, Lord, no matter where they are, no matter what backgrounds they have, no matter their education level, their language that they speak, that we all belong to you. So, Lord, we ask that you continue to bless all the people here. Lord, with all the innovations and with all the changes, Lord, that truly that everybody belongs to you. And as you draw the nations here, Lord, even the ones that do not know your name, Lord, that they will come to know your name and that they do have a table, a place at this table of yours that you have for them. So, Lord, continue to bless the city of Mountain View to know your name, Lord.
Lord, we thank you for bringing us here this evening to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. In our hearts, we know that we cannot make an impact upon the city of Mountain View without you. We acknowledge that no matter how powerful our words might sound or how sincere our actions may be, only you can change the heartbeat, the very life of an individual, a family, a community, a nation, and a world. We say that this area that we are standing on should no longer be recognized as a hometown of CEOs or Pulitzer Prize winners, professional athletes, actors, and renowned educators. We say that in the beginning, the coming days, this land will be brought into, known to be a place, a birthplace of change, where lives are transformed by having real relationship with you, and where everyone lives together here on earth as it is in heaven. When we read, you own the cattle on a thousand hills, and you provide streams and rivers of living waters, it sounds a lot like the history of Mountain View. Give us a picture of what that might look like, and remind us that everything we need comes from you, and you have a special purpose for our neighbors. So we want everyone here in Mountain View to know that your son Jesus is alive, and because he lives, he brings healing to the sick, shows compassion upon the hurting, and salvation to the lost. So in your holy name, we want to thank you in advance for the opportunity to witness the marvelous things that you do in the coming days.
I just want to praise the Lord Jesus for the gifts he has given to this area. God, we just thank you for the wealth, the weather, the peace that we live under. And God, I actually pray that and bless the people of Mountain View, not just to know the gifts of God, but also to know the giver, that they would know and have a relationship with Jesus, who brings us to God, who has given all of these things and can give us so much more, including eternal life.
You just to stand. If it's too much, I just want to give you freedom to remain seated. But if possible, let's just join our hands as we conclude our time together. And if you're sitting down, just reach out your hands and grab somebody next to you. Father, we deeply sense your presence in our midst this morning, this tonight. And we also sense your joy over the city, your love that you have for us, Lord. Lord, we want more of you. We want more of your love and your grace so that we can go out and be your hands and feet to crash upon the gates of hell, to rescue people who are trapped in darkness and loneliness. And Lord, we do ask that you will continue to build this beautiful family through our lives. We ask for your blessing, not just for our own lives, Lord, but so that we can be a channel of that blessing to whoever you bring into our lives. Continue to give us courage and faith to believe the things that are impossible with our own strength. We thank you for calling us to be together in this season. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray all these things. Amen.